Holy Spirit, we thank you. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for your presence with us. As we look into your word, breathe upon us in the name of Jesus. Breathe upon us. Let revival begin from this meeting. In Jesus' mighty name. You may please be seated. Open your Bibles quickly to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 from verse, let me read from verse 1. Because today, I want to usher in what I can call, apostolic Christianity. Now, that may sound cliche, but I will explain. Are you with me? Acts chapter 19 from verse 1, it reads, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples," say after me, "certain disciples." Verse 2, "He said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Are you seeing this? So these guys were disciples, and they were true disciples of the Lord, but they had not heard about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. So you see, in your Christian journey, there are things that if you have truly believed, you should have heard, or there are things that if you are really progressing, you should get to know or get to learn about. Are you with me? And verse 3, "And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." Glory! Glory. "And all the men were about 12. Now, this is where I'm going to. "And he went into the synagogue." Everybody look at verse 8 and read with me. 1, 2, 3, go. "And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the church in the Bible. And after much seeking God, praying and fasting, the Lord gave me one answer." He said, "The answer is discipleship." And I will explain. That's why I said apostolic Christianity. We are trying to create in our generation the effect of something that should be the natural result of a course. So, for instance, imagine trying to create a smoke without a fire. Do you know how difficult that would be? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Imagine trying to create a smoke without an actual fire. It will be so difficult. That's why it looks like Christianity nowadays, for a lot of people, is difficult. Because the actual substance that will cause that effect is absent. So, for instance, it's just like, people come to church and you are trying to tell them, imagine someone comes to a church and the first thing they are hearing is, if you are not a tither, it will be tight for you. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And you are trying to tell them, if you don't honor the Lord with your finances, if you don't, see, that is the result of something else. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
See, or wonder what is pastor saying? Let's go and reset. I'm telling you, you have it. I was talking to Minister Confidence. I was like, people don't even understand. How did we get the Bible? How was the Bible put together? The, what they call the canon of scripture, how did it come about? Are you with me? Why don't we use certain books? There's a lot to talk about. But well, the 66 books of the Bible, it is the correct one. Are you with me? Glory. Praise the Lord. And today, I want to begin a series. So it is a series within the series. And this is what I can call, if you get it, your Christianity has begun. Let me tell you something. The major reason why people are not where they ought to be in their work with God is that they don't understand the gospel. I am telling you. Let me go on. Now, verse 8. It says, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. So for 90 days, every day, he was preaching. Now, everybody read verse 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and said, am I alone? Everybody, verse 9, 1, 2, 3, go. And believe not, but speak evil of that way before the multitude. He departed from them, both Jews and Greek, verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Are you seeing? Why didn't the miracles come first? The miracles were the result of the outburst of the gospel. Please, am I talking to you? Pay attention. When the substance of the revelation of Jesus Christ exploded in that territory, miracles became normal. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So we have a church today. You are trying to get the effect without the substance. Now, remember, he was saying that they disputed daily in the school of Tyrannus for 2 years. I want to ask you, 2 years, how many days make a year? 365 days, right? So, 365 days times 2. How many times does the current church meet in a week? A normal church, how many times do we meet a week? Twice. Midweek service and Sunday service. And midweek service, 70% of the people that come on Sunday don't come on midweek service. This is obvious now. You know what I'm talking about. See the oil we are using for. Are you with me? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, do this calculation. How many years will it take to have 730 services if we meet twice a week? How many years? Calculate. Let me see who that did mass. Let me see. Mama Vicky, your brain's on fire. Let others calculate. Eh? 7 point something years. Minister Vicky said 7 years. 7 years. It will take 7 years plus of. That means imagine the same people meeting consistently for 7 years with the same intensity to produce what they produce in 2 years. Are you with me? Are you seeing why the average church goer? Now, this is back to back. Now, somebody comes on military service. He goes home, distractions, one thing. He may not listen to the sermon. He finds his way. Maybe one challenge, fall into sin, come out, repent, like that. Just manage. He come on Sunday. Then, before you grab the one that you got on Sunday, Satan give you one basketball on Monday. Bwah! Like that. Before you know, you manage. So, after 10 years, the average churchgoer is still in limbo. He's still trying to find his footing. Are you seeing what I'm saying? For instance, what I want to talk about, I can bet there are 50% of people going to church don't know it. Or if they know it, they don't understand it. Or if they have understood it to some extent, it has not really entered to produce the kind of result required. Because listen, it is because of the gospel we are gathered here. Everything we are doing is because of the gospel. I hope you know that. Wait, I hope you know that. That the gospel is the driving force behind everything a Christian does. And so I've decided I will teach the gospel till it begins to produce the kind of effects. It begins to produce the kind of results. It begins to produce the kind of understanding. Let me tell you, what did the apostles preach? Think about it. What did the apostles of Jesus Christ understand? What did the early church understand? That people were giving their all to the early to the work of the Lord. What did they understand? Maybe there was something they knew that we don't yet know. Imagine you were Stephen. You finished preaching like this, people started stoning you. God. They started stoning you, and you still stayed there. If it's an average, maybe. By the time they stone you on your head, boom. He said, like, no verse. Now play. And not do again. Somebody stood there, kept on preaching. They stoned him till he died. Then on the last day, Jesus will ask you, why didn't you preach? You say, I didn't like the way that sister looked at me. I didn't like the way they were looking at me. You know, I would have approached them. Then they say, Stephen, come. You all come, confess. Let me tell you, some people think, do you think that we that preach the gospel in the way we do, we don't have reasons not to? You know, there are some people, when they're going through a challenge, the first thing they want to cut off is church. Why are you not in church? No, I was just going through a tough time. I was just feeling down, feeling good. See what I'm going through. The first thing. But if they have a job, no matter what, they keep showing up in that office. They keep showing up in the office. So that means maybe it's about priority. You don't understand you don't really know what is going on here. Oh, we don't really understand what's going on. Maybe today's teaching will be an introduction to what is really going on. Say after me, this is the gospel.
This is the
gospel. So what does gospel mean? Gospel is another word for good news, right? Good news. And if you have ever heard me teach or define the gospel before, you will hear me say something like this. The gospel is that God has accepted the sacrifice of Jesus as the propitiation or the payment for sins and now bestows eternal life on all who believe. Glory! You see, if you understood what that meant, you would have shouted, but some people don't understand it. And so, this definition I just said will only make sense to you if you really understand it. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So the gospel is that God has accepted the sacrifice of Jesus as propitiation for our sins and now bestows eternal life on all who believe. But you see, the gospel also is not an entrance exam which you have to pass, get into Christianity, and when you have entered, you throw the exam away or you are done with the exam. Are you with me? When we say we want to preach about the gospel, or when we say we want to talk about the gospel, for many people who have been churchgoers, or maybe they have been born again before, they just feel, oh, okay, you know, I'm already born again. I'm a Christian. I don't need to hear the gospel. Just preach it to the next sinner nearby. Listen, we preach the gospel to the unsaved to be saved, but we teach the gospel to the saved to be discipled.
Yes, sir.
Let me say that again. We preach the gospel to the unsaved to be saved, but we teach the gospel to the saved to be discipled.
We teach the gospel to the believer for him to grow.
Look at Colossians 1, verse 21 to 23. This is Paul talking to the church in Colossae. He says, "And you that were sometime annihilated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he reconciled. Glory! In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Look at verse 23. "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." Look at the words he's using. Grounded, settled, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
If you ask an average church goer, what is the hope of the gospel? Just scan your mind now. What is the hope of the gospel? Some that we try, we say, to make heaven. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. Are you with me? So I want to start with what I call the priority or the cruciality of the gospel or the centrality of the gospel. Are you with me? Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Oh my God. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 1 to verse 4. Everybody read on with me. Today is going to be proper Bible study service. 1, 2, 3, go. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." See after me, "wherein ye stand." So, as a Christian, can you say that you actually stand in the gospel? Because for most cases, the reason why the person is feeling that way, he's actually trying to base his stand in life based on what he has done, what he has achieved, in comparison to maybe what his friends may have done. Then you ask him, "Why are you talking about yourself like that?" He says, "See my mates now. See my mates. See what they are doing with their life. Maybe I'm not so special. Maybe I over..." Have you ever been in a point in your life where you felt like you overhyped yourself? You felt like, "I overhyped myself. Maybe I'm not that great." But then, when you rewind back to what the Bible says, "And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, hath he quickened. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You were lost and without hope in the world. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us." See, if I did not mean anything to God, he will not bestow great love on me. I am not going to stand based on what is in my account or how I feel about myself, but how he feels about me. When the Bible says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, let me tell you something. See, there is a doctrine we don't teach popularly in the church because of the confusion it creates. But let me tell you that you have come to understand the salvation plan of God in Christ Jesus. It means you were chosen. It's the doctrine of election. Oh my God. Do you know that there are so many people who were born in countries where there was war and they didn't have the privilege of hearing the gospel the way you heard it, believed it, embraced Christ. But that you heard the gospel, embraced Christ, and you have been found in him, God chose you. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He sent his son to die for me. For me. I must be important to him. Why didn't I die before I believed? Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes,
why didn't an accident just take my life before I heard the gospel and believed and got saved? Why? Why wasn't I Pharaoh? Oh, you don't know that Pharaoh was a human being too? Hey, Jesus. Think about what I'm saying, you know. Why wasn't I Pharaoh?
Where was I positioned in the way that I was to hear the gospel, believe it, and be saved?
God actually has plans for me.
Yes. I may look like a failure to the eyes of men, but to the one who created the universe, he has a plan for me. God, can you say after me, God loves me? He didn't love me first when I got my prayer life right. He didn't love me when I got everything right first. He didn't wait for me. Are you with me? The Bible says, hearing is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Are you with me? Yeah. Romans chapter 5 from verse 8. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Are you with me? Look at it. But God commended his love toward us, meaning, but God demonstrated his love for us. That's why we are yet in us. Christ died for the ungodly. I am showing you how you stand in the gospel. Are you with me? Yes, now, listen to this. If he died for me, then he cannot leave me stranded. Now, you are now having faith in the gospel. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
That is what Paul was explaining in Romans chapter. This is not my sermon. This is the extrapolation of that what we just read. Herein ye stand. It says, I declare to you the gospel which I preached, wherein ye stand. This is what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 8. He says, what shall we say unto these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely give us all things? What shall we say to these things? We are more than conquerors. Are you seeing how from the premise of the gospel, he knows that I can never be defeated? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Say after me, I stand in the gospel. Let me tell you something. This has been my strongest antidote to depression. It's not like it does not come. But I know too much to be depressed. Are you with me? I know too much. I know too much.
Praise the Lord.
He didn't wait for you to be perfect before he believed in you. He made the investment knowing that it will work. That means my life will work.
Let me go on.
So, in that verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. See, we must read Bible. What does this mean? So he's saying that this gospel is the means by which you are saved. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Well, before I explain if ye keep in memory, let me explain by which also ye are saved. See, it is the gospel that saves. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It is not crying that is the power of the gospel. It is not crying about your sins that makes you saved. Oh God, why did I do it again? That's not why you'll be, that's not how you'll be saved. Are you with me?
Yes,
it's not penance that's the power of God to salvation. If you, it's not by beating yourself up and trying to make yourself that you are the worst of the worst. Oh, you have failed God. You know, some people feel like the more they punish themselves, God is going to be pleased. And by...
Yes, Kai!
This is where we will start fighting now. They will see how I like to fight Roman Catholic people. Not just them, oh. See, let me tell you, to protect the gospel of Christ, you cannot protect it without fighting some other people. I was talking to the pastors today. Do you know that an average church God does not know the difference between Christianity and Jehovah's Witnesses? Christianity and Mormon, Church of Latter-day Saints.
Christianity and Seventh Day Adventist. Sorry, I'm finding trouble. Christianity and Grail message. Christianity already that one. The message is gray, so it's not clear. You know, that one no follow. Or Christianity and Ekanka. All kinds. When you begin, when you really understand the stuff, you know that there is problem. I was doing research to just find out what do the Latter-day Saints really believe, because their doctrinal positions is not out there. People don't really know. And so you just see all their needs, facilities, fine. You just think they like wearing black tie. You don't know what's in the happen. I discovered one of the major pillars of that sect is a pseudo-Christian cult. So the pseudo-Christian cults are cults that look like, they look as though it's like Christianity, like church, but when you go deeper, it's something else. They believe that Jesus and Satan were brothers. They were brothers of the same God, of God. So Jesus was the well-behaved one. Lucy. As how now? That God actually was a man in ancient times. And by transportation now became God. And then had two children. Jesus and Lucifer. Two boys. Oh, Chim. Chimo. See, this year, I will teach well. Maybe you may not have seen this side of me, but I will teach. You will now understand, for new Christian community, you will now understand the real doctrinal persuasion, what really makes a church a church. Because we're living in a day, we're not even talking about, we have not even started talking about the spiritual side. Because this is just doctrine. Are you with me? There are some places that where even the doctrine sounds right in the spirit now. Babalawo also. When I used to be in Delta State those days, there was a man. He was a non-native doctor in Delta State. I want to find trouble now. He used to be a native doctor those days in Delta State. People know him. Bernard Ufuma. His native name is also my name. The man left Delta State, went to Port Harcourt and started a church. If I call his name, some people in Port Harcourt will know. Went to Port, I'm like, hey, Jesus. So now they will go there with, they will see drum and keyboard. And they'll be doing, yeah, yeah, yes, yeah. Oh my God. And there will be people. Be laying hands on people and strange things will start happening. The devil is a liar. You know, over the weekend I was at Ekiti Ministry. I saw one boy. I cast out demons, but that boy, he pained. The demon was hiding under his throat. Was trying to hide under his throat. And I'm sure, I just felt maybe the people around there will look at me weird. I opened my eyes like this. As I charged, he somersaulted in my front. So later, one of them came and said, Pastor, why do you open your eyes like that? I said, don't worry, we are not seeing the same thing. We are both seeing differently. Yes, sir. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Well, how did we even get there? But let's come back, right? By which you are saved. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. So what saves a man is believing the gospel. Not how sorrowful you are about your sins. Not about I'm trying my best. Not about I'm a principled man. Are you with me?
I live a principled life. That is not what saves a man. A man is saved by the gospel. Can you say that? Mean a man is saved. Men are saved by believing the gospel.
Glory.
And he says, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God that produces salvation. Meaning, without that gospel, God is powerless to cause men to be saved. If you are praying to God for salvation and you have not yet submitted to the gospel, God is powerless to save you. For you to be saved, delivered from, well, I will explain. For you to be saved, you must have heard, embraced, and believed the gospel. It is the power of God. The word power there is dunamis. It carries the potential to save.
Praise the Lord.
So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15 verse 2. He says, by which you are saved. So the gospel is the means by which you are saved. He now says, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. That's the conditional statement though. By which you are saved, if ye keep in memory. Is he saying that, okay, if you forget the gospel, you are no longer saved? That's not what he's saying. So let me break it down. When he says, by which you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Oh, you see this thing I want to explain now. This is the first dividing line between churchgoers and Christians. Or better put, churchgoers and those who are saved. He says, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. He's saying that the people who truly believe the gospel is very special to them for them to neglect it. Did you hear what I just said? The people who believe the gospel and are saved, the gospel is so strong in, see, it's such a strong force in their life, they can't forget it, they can't neglect it, they can't sideline it. Are you with me? It's just like, let me use my protocol today as an example. I used to use Mr. Joshua so much. Imagine, I was stranded. And I was so stranded that, God forbid, but imagine, I was sleeping under the bridge. I had no clothes. I was tattered. Then he came along and said, ah, I know you. You can't be here. Picked me up, gave me clothes, sent me to school, transformed my life. And then somebody asks me one day and say, do you know Tosin? Give me your full name. They said, do you know Tosin Ayo Yusuf? I said, who is that? Who be that safe? They won't ask you, wait, is your brain still? Is it that your brain was formatted? How can you forget the person that completely transformed you? You say, is that person? That's my, are you with me? As they mention the name, there is a way I will respond because of how much impact he made on my life. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
That name will be sacrosanct to me. Everything about that person will be sacrosanct to me. It will be special to me. He cannot just escape from my memory. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You are blessed.
Yes, sir. Yes,
God will use you to do that in somebody's life.
Amen.
He's saying, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory. Do you know? You just run your mind through many people that come to church. When you just start, you say, but Jesus has died for that. I beg, leave Jesus for this matter. I beg. Leave Jesus died for that one. But you see that the way they talk carelessly about the things of the faith, about Christ. People even say this, even if Jesus rise from the dead, talk to that man no go agree. The way they play around those things, you know that this thing has not entered. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The way they carry their devotion to God, you will know. He says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Actually, when you check That thing in the Greek, it actually reads, unless you do not even believe at all. Are you following me? When you see the way a person responds to the things regarding the gospel, you will now know whether he believed or he believed in vain. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
If you think back some years ago, you will discover that even the way Christians talk about their conversion experience is different. When you see Christians that got born again in the 70s, in the 80s, many of them, they have the dates they got born again. Some of them have the dates. They can tell you how it happened, how they held the word and it convicted them. They did not believe in vain. The thing is very strong on the heart. Some of them even changed their name. Are you guys what I'm saying? Because they did not believe in vain. The gospel meant a lot to them. Not even a lot, it meant everything. Are you following me? So how do we now have people who say they believe? we're in a day. I saw something years ago. I was in the congregation. I said that guy that went for that call is not saved. I was there. I said that guy no follow. How can you, if you are born again, come? He came out. He was typing on WhatsApp. The person was type. He had a friend he was to meet up with outside. Say, oh man, I did altar call like this. As I finish this altar call, we go meet. What? If you ask him now, when he got to him, please, what was preached? Say, wait, I don't know. If you keep in memory, meaning that if you really got saved by the gospel, the gospel and the tenets of the gospel will be so strong on your heart, you cannot forget it, you cannot ignore it, you cannot sideline it. Are you with me? Are you with me? You will keep it jealously. You will hold it dearly. You will hold that message dearly. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And then he now lays the first foundation in verse 3. It says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Shout glory.
Glory.
Say after me, Christ died for our sins. Now, the other part may be confusing according to the scriptures. What does it mean according to the scriptures? As at when Paul was writing this, they preached Christ dying for their sins with the Old Testament. Are you with me? So he's saying that this message of Christ dying for our sins, I preached it to you from the scriptures. Are you getting me? So that's what he was saying there. There was no, as at when Paul was writing this, there was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There was no Acts. There was no Romans. Are you with me? He was saying that I revealed the message of Christ and how he died for your sins with the scriptures. Are you getting this? And then he says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Glory. So now, Paul is saying this is the gospel. How can you be laying the foundation of the gospel and the first part is that somebody died? How does that? For instance, you are here now. You just hear that car jammed somebody at New Yanya, and they say that's gospel. Like they will say, "Come, it's like you're a wicked person. Yeah, you're a very wicked person." You hear that somebody was crucified. They nailed him to a. They nailed a man to a cross at Mararaba. And that's good news. How is it good news? Please, are you with me?
Yes,
how is it good news? How can the death of someone be good news? Well, I will explain. It says, "For I delivered unto you first of all how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." He died for our sins because we were the ones to die for sins. And if this has not dawned on you, maybe you are not saved.
You know, I was sharing one of our leaders when I was meeting on this in the afternoon. How great is the issue of sins that Christ died for it? How great is the issue of sin? How great is the issue of sin that we warrant that God did not have any other idea? Are you telling me that God, you ran out of ideas to deal with the sin problem? And the only way was that your beloved son will die? Maybe, you know, maybe there is more to the issue of sin than we don't get. There is more to the matter that we don't get. What is sin? Sin is rebellion against God and his order. Rebellion against God and his order. And God is a righteous and good God. So what will a righteous God, a just God, do in response to sin? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
You know, when you read about Adam and Eve, the story of Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God, there's so much to say, but, well, what they did was what you can call high treason. Do you know what high treason is? People don't know how serious that is. Have you read in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, where the serpent, when he was trying to deceive Eve, he said, God knows that when you eat of this fruit, you will know good and evil, and you will be as gods. And that's why God does not want you to eat of this fruit. Do you know what they did by choosing to eat of the fruit? By choosing to eat of that fruit, it was not just disobedience to God. They wanted to overthrow God. Yes. They were declaring to the Most High, you are not fit enough to be God. We will be our own God. And that is what sin is. Whenever a man decides that God's order will not run me, I will decide my own order. That is what sin is. That you have overthrown the Creator. You have overthrown the living God. Both in his creation. Are you with me? And in the world around you. That is what sin is. Rebellion. Are you with me? He said, you will be as gods. You will be as gods. You will determine what good and evil is. And if you check it, that's what sin is. When men feel like they can decide, why should I be a man? I can be a woman. Why should I just stay with one woman? No. I remember one time I was preaching in a bus, and one man said, all these pastors are better, forget. He asked me, if you eat egusi soup all the days of your life, today you eat egusi, tomorrow you eat egusi, next tomorrow you eat egusi, how will you feel? I said, no, I'll have to put variety. He said, how can you tell me that I will stay with one woman? Egusi alone. No. He said, I have to have egusi, okro, afang, edikaiko, black soup, like that. Somebody at the back now said, you also eat syphilis, HIV, gonorrhea. Let me tell you, do you know that there are people today that actually think that way? And let's not even go far. Some of us have thought that way. Go safe. If we open this thing, one, two, it's too narrow. One is too narrow. Just increase the options. Why? But the one that designed it, the, The creator that designed it that way knows why. He knows why. And it is the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom. As long as we think that what he designed is wrong, we are in foolishness.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me? As long as we think that the pattern and the order he set is not sufficient, we are in foolishness. I was preaching to someone. If I talk now, they say, Pastor, you like to attack Islam. I bring to someone, the person said, I prefer Islam to Christianity. I said, why? He said, Islam understood the needs of men and balanced everything. They know that one will not be enough, one woman will not be enough. So they say you can marry like four. He said, are you not seeing? He said, but Christianity just has a way of spoiling everything. I said, that is proof that it's no man that arranged it. Because it is contrary to the nature of darkness in man. Are you following me? Huh? Time is moving. Let's see how fast we can be. And where we stop, we continue on Sunday. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You see? We should just flow like this. He's entering now, B. Romans 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. So, this is not something that anybody is exempted from. All of us have sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned, we sinned in them. Are you with me? We're in Adam and Eve. Actually, we're in Adam. And when Adam sinned, we sinned in him. And we carried on the nature of darkness. We were sold as slaves to sin and to the power of darkness. Are you with me? Romans 5 verse 12 says, Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. Are you following this? So, he's saying in Romans 5 verse 12, let me read it slowly. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. He's saying that if all men sin, that means all deserves death. Listen. When God told Adam in Genesis 2 from verse 16 to 17 that in the day you eat of this fruit, you will surely die, God meant it. You will die. And the death happened spiritually first. And then it began to affect his soul and eventually his body. You know, what Genesis 2:17 reads here in King James, it says you will surely die. If you read older translations, which are no longer available in this generation, Moffat translation, what it reads is, in dying you shall die. Meaning you will start dying and you will eventually die. So the nakedness that Adam and Eve experienced was proof that the spiritual death had first of all happened. You have been disconnected from the source of life. And then the next level of death was the death in the soul, meaning death in the human mind, death in the human emotions. That is why the next chapter after this, or after Adam's sin, Genesis chapter 4, you now begin to see death manifested in Cain. Who told Cain that you can kill? Because before then, nobody had killed. Who told Cain that you can kill a man? It is the nature of death at work. See, let me tell you something. The wickedness you see widespread all over the world is proof that men are dead, waiting to die. Are you with me? And when they die physically, they will now die eternally. He says, you will surely die. So, the first level of death, disconnected from God in the spirit. The second level of death is your soul is darkened by the power of darkness. The third level of death is death in the body, meaning first of all manifesting as sickness, and then eventual mortality, and then spiritual death for eternity. Are you seeing this? This is serious. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So,
My plan for this series, I want to flesh out the gospel. I want to explain it. Explain it. Death. Every time you see sickness, have you ever seen those people on the road, eh? When you see their bodies just deformed in a certain way. Maybe you see one big lump like this just comes out. How do you feel? It's irritating, right? Sometimes it's not just irritating. You have strong compassion. You're like, why are things like this in this world? I have a childhood friend that came to fellowship with us, Dr. Anokam. Just wave. He's a medical doctor and is it prosthetics? He does this thing where people, they have to maybe amputate their legs and they make legs, prosthetic legs for them. And sometimes, I'm tempted to ask you, how do you feel when you see as a doctor, you are exposed to the evil in this world. It's a reminder that there is something is wrong somewhere. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Death. You will surely die. Ezekiel 18 from verse 4. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth shall die. The soul that sinneth shall die. Look at Romans chapter 1 verse 32. Romans chapter 1 verse 32. I'm rushing because of time. It says, who knowing... Put it in NKJ, New King James. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. So, the righteous judgment of God is that when we disconnected from him and rebelled against him in Adam, this death was going to work. Are you with me? Yes, if God sent all men to hell, he's righteous to do so. That's what he's telling you. Are you with me? That if God sent all men to hell, it is the righteous judgment of God that those who do such things are deserving of death. Are you with me? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Death came by sin. Are you following this? And guess what? We deserved it. Because what should a good and righteous judge do in response to sin? What should he do? When you think about your life, think about when the Bible says in Romans 6 verse, remind me, 23, that the wages of sin is death. Think about your life. How many times have you sinned? How many times do you deserve to die? And before you start saying, no, it's not fair, just think about it. God forbid. Imagine someone comes to your house, shoots your brother, shoots your sister, shoots your mother, runs away, and as he's running away, the police arrest him. Are you following me? And they bring him. And then somebody says, no, 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 no. It was his first time. No, they should let him go. No, 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 no. It was his first time. What will you do? The only way you can forgive someone is if you understand. God must have done something to you. Are you with me? The righteous judgment of God for every and any sin is death. Are you with me? And so, if I stop here, or if the story of man stopped here, all of us were headed towards death. The world is headed towards death. In fact, the death has begun already. The death is happening, and the death shall happen. Are you with me? Headed towards death. Headed towards death.
But that's not where the story ends. Glory. Glory.
You know, many times when I preach this, I try to bring it home to you. Some of you, if you are honest, if God has to judge you for your sins, you know you are finished. You know. You know. Some of you may say, oh, but I don't do anything wrong. I didn't. Your thoughts. If God displayed your thoughts from when you were zero till today, you know God knows all your thoughts, right? If he displays your thoughts on an LED screen from when you were age zero till today and decides to judge you, you know the Bible says if God marks sins, who can stand? Where do you think you will stand? And those of you that say, oh, I've been a good child from when I was small till now. Even that thought I've been a good child is also pride. That's a sin. Hey, are you following me? That's a sin. The sin of pride. The sin of how dare you call me wrong. That was Cain's first sin. Yes. He was challenging God's judgment. How can you accept Abel and disapprove of me? No, you are wrong. That's pride. And the wages of sin is death.
Are you with me?
So our sins demanded death. Because God is righteous. God is holy. God is just. God is set apart. There is no iota of unrighteousness with him. But God is also love. Are you with me? God is also love. If God sends all men to eternal judgment in hell forever, he is righteous and just and holy to do so. But his love designed a way of escape for us. This is the place I pray you must get it in the name of Jesus. His love designed a way of escape for us. You know, the grace of God is saying you will not get what you deserve. Are you with me? The gospel of God, of Jesus Christ, is saying you will not get what you deserve. So, his love designed a way of escape for us such that we don't have to die the death we deserve. Such that the death we deserve, we escaped it. How? We escaped it because he gave us a substitute. Are you with me? So, in order to set us free, he came as Jesus and took the punishment that he should have meted out to us. Oh, yes. That's what happened. That's what happened. And you see, when you study the Old Testament, have you ever wondered, why is God so bloodthirsty? Every time they are killing something, they are killing lamb, he will kill the blood. Guy! You like blood. Blood, blood. In the Old Testament, after Adam and Eve sinned and they were naked, the Bible says God killed a lamb and clothed them. That was a prophetic picture of the fact that, see, the real reason why Jesus had to die or God has to kill a lamb is that because of your sin, you sinned in the world that God created. You are dispermitted to be here. So for you to be here, something has to die to take. Are you with me? Yes, sir. Something has to die to take your place.
Are you with me? Okay, you have a place in God's world. Now you've rebelled against the God who created the world. You are supposed to be expelled out of that world. So in order for you to not to be expelled, for you to still be here and accepted in his world, something else was expelled so that you can still stay. Do you get it? So the picture was that something that has life, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So something that has life and can expel blood. Are you with me? So a lamb was killed to cover the nakedness of man as a picture of the fact that a lamb will be killed to cover our sins forever.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Do you get it?
Yes,
say after me, this is the gospel.
This is the gospel.
So Jesus died so that you will no longer have to die. You missed the place to shout glory. Jesus died so that you will no longer have to die. He died so that you will no longer have to die. Listen, if you wanted to know how much of punishment you deserved, look at what was given to Jesus. Let me show you something. Isaiah 53. Kai, please bear with me. In the next 3 minutes, I'm done. Isaiah 53. You know, in theology, it's called substitutionary atonement. Isaiah 53 from verse 3 to 7. Please give me NLT translation. I want to read something. NLT translation. Everybody read 1 to 3, go. He was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Verse 4. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. Hey! So now, before he's talking about the beating and the scourging, he's saying there was an emotional weight that came on him simply because of what he was carrying for us.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Is it that emotional self-condemnation that you are allowing yourself go through? Christ took it for you already. Christ took it for you. Are you seeing? Say after me,
this is the gospel.
Yet it was our weaknesses that weighed him down. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. Now read on. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. On the physical, when you saw what Jesus was going through, you will think that maybe he did something wrong. Are you with me? Can you imagine? The people he was dying for were telling him, physician, save thyself. Kai, imagine you are a mother. You are trying to gather school fees for your daughter. And because of that, you are now walking Akamu on the road. And your daughter that you are trying to gather the school fees on the road saw you and say, mommy, why are you disgracing me? That is what happened. Why are you disgracing me carrying this akamuna? Please, please. When she calls you, my daughter, I say, please, 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 please. Is that your mother? Please, it's not my mother. I beg. It's not my mother. I don't know that woman from anywhere. But the thing that she's doing is actually what will send you to school. So he's saying, when they were mocking him, it was actually because he was trying to rescue us.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. Verse 5. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Glory! Verse 6. Say after me, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
It says, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Are you seeing this? So for every time somebody fell into fornication, pia, they gave him. For every time somebody stole, for every time somebody lied, for every time. So instead of God to mete out the judgment that he should have given you, are you with me? For every single time somebody cheated, every single time they kidnapped somebody and killed the person, so that that hardened criminal somewhere will be forgiven, they gave him power.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Say after me, this is the gospel. For every single time that wicked man somewhere was doing his wickedness, so that one day the man can come and say, Lord, forgive me. Have you ever thought about it before? It's not like a scam. One guy just doing evil, now come and say, God, forgive me. Oh, just as I am. Me, if it's me that was God, I say, hey, scam now first. You will feel it. What is this? You want to repent now, B? Go away first now. Angel, please, put him on probation. Thank God I was not, I'm not God, though. I'm going to give him, set your head first. So that me and you can receive the forgiveness easily. That's what he went through. Are you following me? Read on. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Verse 7. He was oppressed and treated. So, the death of Jesus for us is good news, because every penalty, every judgment, every condemnation that we should have received for sins, it was taken away for us. You missed a place to say glory. See, do you know what this means? Every sickness Satan should have given to you because of your sins, he took it already. Every demonic attack that you should have suffered because of your sins, it has been taken already. Every oppression you should have suffered because of your sins was taken already. Everything your parents did that you should have suffered for, are you with me? It is upon this premise that no generational curse can manifest in your life. Are you with me? Oh my God. Say for me, this is the gospel. For everything that they said, you know, in your third generation, somebody cut somebody's tongue and they should manipulate your destiny. No, he has already suffered the suffering that I should have suffered. Are you with me?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And do you know why he did it? Because of love. He loved you too much to watch you go through it. That means anytime the devil is having his way in your life is a scam.
Yes, sir.
So you have every right to drive him out.
Yes,
because Jesus cannot suffer and you suffer.
No. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah.
So now, because of what he has done, we can say, there is therefore now no condemnation. Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. He has taken away my debt. He has taken away my sins. He has taken away my judgment. So now I can be free. I can be free. I can be free. In fact, I am free. Glory!
Yay! Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach. Christ died. Can you say after me? Christ died for my sins. Christ died for my sins. Jump on your feet and just thank him. Jump on your feet and just thank him. Just thank him. No matter how bad you were, no matter how finished you were, no matter how complicated your life was, I know you've made mistakes, but he died for you. He died for your sins. Oh, pastor, you don't understand. My life is just somehow. I've made mistakes. He died and took the complication so that he can straighten your life. Thank him. Above all powers, above all thrones, above all one.
That's not the key.
Above all, sons of men. You will hear before the world began. Crucified, laid behind the stone. You live to die, rejected and alone. Like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Everybody, raise your hands and say, crucified, crucified, laid behind the stone. You live to die, rejected and alone. Like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above. One more time. Crucified, crucified, hey, laid behind the stone. You need to die, rejected and alone. And thought of me above. One more time. Crucified, crucified, laid behind. You live to die, you live to die. Rejected and alone, like the rose. As we are singing, I just heard the Lord say to me, I thought of you and I'm still thinking about you. I'm still thinking about you. I'm still thinking about you. I'm still thinking. You are still on my thoughts. He's still on your thoughts. You are still on his thoughts. He's still working actively in your life, both to will and to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I will never get used to the gospel. I will never get used to it. You died for me, so I will live for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
There's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone. You live to die, rejected and alone. And thought of me above.
Listen, it doesn't matter how deep you feel you've been lost, he died for you. He died so that you will be found. He dies that you will be found. If you feel like you are lost, you are far away from the Lord, you can declare, Lord, I believe. Wherever you are, you can just say to him, Lord, I believe. I come back to you. I come back. Lord, I come back. I come back. Jesus, I believe what you've done for me. I believe. Package your offerings as we close. This atmosphere is solemn. I was going to show you something in Matthew 27. When Barabbas, the notorious sinner, was there, and Jesus, who committed no crime, they said, who should we release? Jesus or Barabbas? The people chose Barabbas. Can I tell you something? We were Barabbas. That was a prophetic picture that he took our place. So that we would take his place. He took our place of sin to give us his place of righteousness. He took our place of being convicted to give us his place of freedom. Are you with me? He took our place of being in prison so that we can be free. Kai! Like a rose trampled on ground, you took the fall and thought of me. Amen. If you are hearing me online and you are here and you are not born again, you must be born again. The greatest symbol of pride is to reject what he did for you. If you're not born again, close your eyes and pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. You were buried for me. You rose for me. I don't trust in my own self. I trust in you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for taking my place in sin and giving me your place in righteousness. I receive it today, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.